Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4th, Chapter 28, Text number 49. This chapter is entitled as Puranjan becomes a woman in the next life. Evam, evam vilapanti bala, vipine anugata patim, patita padayor bharto. Rudatyashruni avartayat. Avartayat. She shed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. That most obedient wife thus fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in that solitary forest. Thus the tears rolled down from her eyes. Purport. Just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted at the passing away of her husband, when a spiritual master passes away, the disciple becomes similarly bereaved. Om Ajnana Timirand. Thus the tears roll down from her eyes. Hare Krishna. So herein, the description of Malayadhvaja's wife's situation has been explained by Shukadeva Goswami, that how after the passing of her husband, she is crying in great separation of her husband. And Srila Prabhupada explains that one should cry when one spiritual master leaves this material body. So this principle of feeling separation and crying is very nicely explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Because all the scriptures, they don't only speak on the intellectual platform. Sometimes it is taken as a scripture means you have to put all of your brain, try to understand the scriptures, but they are so difficult to understand. But especially scripture which directly deals with devotional service, they mainly handle the heart. And therefore naturally they create different kinds of emotions. And Srila Prabhupada explains in one place in regards to how Vidura, when Vidura met Uddhav, Vidura had travelled all over the world, going to different holy places. And ultimately Vidura met Uddhav. And Uddhav was remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. Krishna had gone back to the spiritual world. And Uddhav was remembering Lord Krishna's association. And he was feeling great separation. And then Vidur, when he heard that Lord Krishna had instructed Uddhav, he desired that you impart me the same instruction as Lord Krishna has spoken to you. And Uddhav was so much in separation, and also he didn't want to speak in front of a senior person who was there very close to Uddhav, that is Maitreya Muni. And Uddhav explained that, my dear Vidur, he said, when Krishna was going back to the spiritual world, he remembered you. He said, Lord Krishna was remembering you. When Vidura heard that I am so insignificant. It is one thing to remember when you are there, to acknowledge one's presence when somebody is close by, it is considered as gentlemanly behavior. That is a natural etiquette presented by a refined gentleman. But somebody is not in your presence and you have some urgent work to be performing. You are going back to the spiritual world. Krishna is going back to the spiritual world. At that time Krishna is remembering Vidur. And when Vidur heard that, he started crying. He said, who am I? I am so fallen, but still Krishna is remembering me. And Srila Prabhupada writes in this regard of Vidura's crying. He says, this crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. Beautiful explanation. This crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. So this feeling of separation from the Lord is caused because of there is great relationship. It cannot be artificial. Just like nowadays you see that if somebody dies, there are professional criers. They can come and cry for your family. So that to make a scene, that okay, there is lamentation, people are feeling separation. Why? Because naturally one cannot cry, because there is no relationship. Only when there is strong relationship, one can actually cry. And here, Vidura is presenting that. Because when you heard Krishna, it naturally evokes feeling of separation. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains, even this principle of crying, even though crying is a negative energy, but still, when it is connected to Krishna and Krishna's pure devotee, it increases your ecstasy. Similarly, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, when Arjuna had gone along with Lord Krishna in the abode of Dwarka Dham, and he stayed there for some time. And then, after a long time, because he did not return, Yudhishthira Maharaj started feeling some kind of ill omen everywhere. And Srila Narad Muni had already predicted that Krishna is going back to the spiritual world, which was inevitable. And then when he saw that Arjuna has not come back, Yudhishthira Maharaj started feeling, but still he wanted to avoid it. Naturally, why would devotee feel that, you know, my Lord is going back to the spiritual world? Nobody wants that separation. Especially devotees like Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then, Arjuna came back from Dwarka Dham. When Yudhishthira Maharaj saw him, he saw that Arjuna's face had become very gloomy. It was pale. He had lost the luster. As a great Kshatriya, naturally Arjuna was very powerful, even on the facial expression. But that was completely lost. And Yudhishthira Maharaj conjectured so many things. He said, is it that you did not respect some elderly people? Is it that you did not share your food with others? Is it that you could not protect somebody who came to seek your protection? He knew the answer, but he wanted to avoid it. And then ultimately, Yudhishthira Maharaj raised this question. Is it that your most dear, kachit preshtatame nata, hridayana atma banduna? He said, is it that my dear Arjun, you have lost your very dear friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore your face is so pale? So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question, and again this reminder of Krishna's disappearance by Yudhishthira Maharaj choked the heart of Arjun. He could not speak. He simply started crying. One philosopher explains that heart which is heavy by separation is like a heavy cloud. And you need to let some water fall, then your heart becomes very light. So Arjuna started crying. He cried for some time. Then when his heart became light, then he started answering the questions of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, my dear Yudhishthir, my dear brother, yes, it is certainly true that because of this separation of the Lord, even though I am living, everything has become dead to me, along with my own self. Everything has become inert matter. There is no activity. So Arjuna exhibited that separation from the Lord and he was crying. And this is the best example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which exhibits that what kind of association, what kind of relationship Arjuna had with his spiritual master. Krishna was not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the Pandavas. Sukadeva Goswami explains, Lord Krishna was their friend. He was their Kulapati. Just like people have Kuladevata. So for Pandavas, Krishna's friend, he was Kula Devata, he was the spiritual master, he was messenger, everything was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you can imagine what kind of friendship they had. So Arjuna expressed his separation from the Lord. He started speaking what he received from the Lord. If that great relationship is there, along with the crying comes gratitude also. Arjuna is remembering whatever he had in his life is caused because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one of the very important chapter, when you read this chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 15th chapter, and then the remembrance of Lord Krishna by Uddhava. Any hard heart can be softened. If you have a problem with somebody, you know, you have a bad relationship, you have fought with someone, then you should read this chapter. Because Arjuna is exhibiting that soft-heartedness by feeling the separation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Arjuna started speaking that whatever he had in his life was only because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Whatever he achieved, it was very clear. Sometime, some mundane people, you know, they explain or make a picture of Arjuna's character as he was a very ambitious person, very hard-hearted, therefore is willing to step on his competitors. It was not like that. They were very clear. Pandavas were very clear about everything, whatever they attained in their life. So Arjuna was exhibiting that gratitude. And then another important principle, when you are separated from someone who is giving you the strength, as yesterday Gaur Gopal Prabhu was explaining, when that great spiritual master departs, naturally there is a great disturbance. But disciples may fight amongst themselves, and because the spiritual master is not there, they may feel that, you know, now where is the strength for me to practice the regulative principle? I was practicing devotional service because I was getting the strength, and now the strength is not there. So naturally one might break the regulative principle. Like one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, when he heard that Prabhupada has departed from this world, he was a sannyasi, he said, now what is the use of sannyas? Because I cannot practice. He said, I was only able to practice sannyas because Srila Prabhupada was giving me the strength. So he gave up his vow. So even this can happen. In the separation of the great spiritual master, our disciples may become weak. Because as long as that personal care and attention is there, one feels that, okay, I can continue. But that will be tested with the passing away of the spiritual master. So here Arjuna, very beautifully, Suta Goswami explains to the Shaunakadi Rishis that even though Arjuna was feeling separation from the Lord, even though for Arjuna everything had become inert, he lost all of his strength, but by remembering the instructions of the Lord, by remembering Krishna, Suta Goswami explains, evam chintayato jishnu krishna pada saroruham sahurdayanati gadena shantasid vimalamatihi. By remembering Krishna, he did not become weak. The remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead made Arjuna's determination very strong. And because of that determination, whatever contamination was there, the leftover contamination, was completely eradicated. He became freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, and there was no question of again falling into the grip of birth and death. Why? Because the separation of the Lord simply increased his determination. That is the test of a devotee. And so therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, he was giving one lecture on the same chapter, the chapter of Arjuna exhibiting his lamentation. He says, how Arjuna could conquer over separation from the Lord? How is that he became very determined? He said, the Vishoka, when there is a lamentation, as we discuss, a lamentation may take many, many reactions. Sometime it is seen that if some very near and dear one passes away, and then people accuse Krishna, or they may not accuse Krishna, but they cannot understand why this happened with me. And because of that confusion, they can't chant Hare Krishna mantra. They can't practice the process of devotional service. They have belief in Krishna, they believe in Krishna, they like Krishna, but they cannot practice devotional service to the Lord. It becomes very difficult. But this is what Arjuna is exhibiting. He continued to practice devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada explains, because Arjuna had this Vishoka Brahma Sampatya. Very important. Prabhupada says this is a very important word. Because Arjuna had unlimited spiritual assets. Because he had this unlimited spiritual assets, he utilized that spiritual assets to overcome the lamentation. And he became master of his senses. And the decision was taken very quickly that I should also go along with the spiritual master, or I should also go along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they could retire immediately. Nobody could force them. They did not require the strong instruction given to Dhritarashtra by Vidur. No, naturally it was manifested in the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas. Why? Because there was unlimited Brahma Sampatya. Therefore, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, he says that Daivi Sampada Vimokshaya, that if you have this Daivi Sampad, then that is the cause of liberation. If you have the material Sampad or the wealth of matter, then that will cause bondage. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, you do not fear, you are born of Daivi Sampad. So therefore you don't need to fear. So therefore, even though Pandavas were handling so much of material wealth, but the spiritual asset was so great, so it was natural for them to go after the spiritual asset only. Therefore they could easily give up everything what was material. In connection to Krishna, whatever material wealth came, it was very insignificant. But if you don't have the spiritual asset, then even the little material asset can cause bondage. Therefore, Prabhupada said, even if somebody attached to a gulab jamun, he has to come back to this world. What is gulab jamun? It is so insignificant. But at the same time, Pandavas were very much interacting with big palace, unlimited wealth, too many women, big interaction with big kings, but nothing caused their bondage. They could naturally give it up. Why? Because the spiritual asset was very, very great. So therefore Prabhupada explains, if spiritual asset and material asset, they are disproportionately less or more, if the spiritual assets are more, then that will give you liberation. But if the material asset is more, then that will be the cause of your bondage. So that is the challenge for a practicing devotee. And another important principle Prabhupada explains, just like he explains that when we develop the spiritual assets, then even if these material assets are there, the devotee learns the art of converting that material asset also into spiritual asset. In the episode of Bali Maharaj, he says Krishna does not take the wealth of his devotee. Why he needs to take? He does not take. He said there are two kinds of wealth. One wealth which is coming because of your pious activity. You can imagine now people don't even perform pious activities. Most wealth is earned by impious activities only. Now here Prabhupada explains, even which is earned by pious activities, that Krishna may take out. Why? Because that wealth which you have earned by pious activity may cause bondage in this world. Because it is material. Pious or impious, it is material. He said, Krishna may take that wealth away from you. But the wealth which is given to you because of your devotional service, that he will not take. So what Krishna did with Bali Maharaj, that he took all of his wealth which is earned by pious activities. He performed so many sacrifices. He pleased his spiritual master, Shukracharya. He had earned that wealth. But still that wealth was a cause of bondage. Why? It was taking him away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna took away that wealth and he gave him the wealth which was earned by the practice of devotional service. When you earn the wealth by the practice of devotional service, convert the wealth into devotional service, when there is a time to relinquish it, there is no hesitation. Because ultimately, even if you earn the wealth by pious activity or impious activity or by devotional service, one has to exhibit the separation from that wealth. One has to do that. But with impious activities, it is difficult. With pious activities, he may give in charity, but still he holds on to it. He cannot completely renounce it. But with wealth earned by devotional service, it's easy to renounce, as the Pandavas did. So therefore, that is an important principle. And when Krishna has that confidence, when the Guru has that confidence, even the wealth procured from a demon can be utilized in the service of the Lord. In the episode of Khandava Prastha, when Arjuna was burning the Khandava forest, or the Agni Dev wanted to burn the Khandava forest, and he seek the help of Krishna and Arjun. And one demon, Maya Danav, he took shelter of Arjun. And then Krishna wanted to kill him, but because he took shelter of Arjun, Krishna, he said, okay, because you have taken shelter of devotee, I will let you go. And then Krishna explained, you should do something for the Pandavas. Arjuna did not want anything from a demon. So Krishna said, okay, because the Pandavas have saved, you should do something for him. So this Maya Danav, he constructed a beautiful palace. Now you can imagine, technology is demonic. Technology is nothing but demonic, coming from demons. So if you do not have the assistance of the Supreme Lord or a pure devotee, then that same technology can destroy you. So Krishna, even though he knew that this is very dangerous, it cannot be used, but still, having the great confidence in the Pandava, he said, okay, you use this palace and stay there. And that same palace, when Duryodhana had very little contact, what did that do to him? He became totally disturbed by that palace. Everything started from there. Pandavas were staying there, they were enjoying it, but there was no disturbance. And Duryodhana had no contact with that palace, but he came to that palace, he saw that, you know, amazing activities there. The palace was very, you know, very beautiful, very bewildering also. And when he got bewildered by that palace, his mind became more contaminated. That is the time he went back to his father and he decided to have a gambling match. So therefore, if the spiritual asset is not very strong, then even if something is achieved by the pious activities, will cause bondage. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explained this Brahma Sampatya, the wealth earned by the process of devotional service, did not cause bondage. Rather, it became ultimately cause of liberation to the Pandavas. And there are another kind of disciples, like Srila Haridas Thakur. Their feeling of separation is so great, you know, they can actually feel that I cannot take it. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Haridas Thakur started feeling that Mahaprabhu is going to disappear, he is not going to stay for long in this material world, he decided to leave before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu came to meet him, Sri Haridas Thakur said, my dear Lord, he said, I cannot see the disappearance pastime of your Lordship. So before you disappear, you take me away from this world. And let me quit my body in the presence of your lotus face. Let me chant your holy name, Krishna Chaitanya. Let me associate with your devotees when I am departing from this world. And Mahaprabhu, understanding this principle that Haridas Thakur cannot bear my separation, he mercifully allowed Srila Haridas Thakur to depart from this world before he could depart. This is one kind of a disciple or one kind of a devotee, that he cannot stand the separation. But there is another kind of disciple like Uddhav. Now Uddhav's attachment to Lord Krishna was also so great, when he came to know that Krishna is departing, he told, my dear Lord, you also take me back. He said, I can't stand being in this world without your association. But Lord Krishna instructed. He said, no Uddhav, you have to continue to stay. He said, you have to go to Badrikashram. So along with that separation, the order was there. Separation was very painful, but still, Krishna wanted Uddhav to continue to stay in this world. He said, you go to Vadrikashram, and there are my devotees, Nar and Nara, and they are waiting for my arrival. I have performed so many pastimes, I met so many devotees, but some other I could not give my association to Nar Narayan, and you are my same self. There is no difference between you and me. Therefore, you go to Nar Narayan Rishi and give your association. Let them understand the confidential pastime of my own activities, and they will hear from you. So, as an instruction from the spiritual master, Uddhav went, feeling great separation from the Lord, and he associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who were acting as the devotees, Nar Narayan Maharshi. Similar pastime is there in the story of Raghunath Das Goswami. When Mahaprabhu went back to the spiritual world, Raghunath Das Goswami, you can imagine, he had 18 years of Sangha. He was the secretary to the secretary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami. When Mahaprabhu departed, and then when Swarup Damodar Goswami departed, Raghunath Das Goswami made strong, determined vow that I will go to Radhakund, and from the peaks of Govardhan Parvat, I will fall and give up my body. So when he came to Govardhan, when he came to Radhakund, it is explained that for him that big Govardhan Parvat, which is non-different from Krishna, because of the separation of the Lord, was appearing to be like a big ghost. Without Krishna and without Mahaprabhu, everything appeared to be devoid. So therefore he decided to depart from this world. But Rupa and Sanatan stopped him. They said, my dear Raghunath, you are so fortunate. You are the only one who is surviving member, had so much of association with Lord Chaitanya. Why not narrate the pastimes of the Lord? And why not give this ointment to all of us which is afflicted by the separation of the Lord? Continue speaking Mahaprabhu's pastime. And because Raghunath Das Goswami was, he always considered himself a junior to Rupa and Sanatan, he agreed to this proposal. And every day, for 3 hours, Raghunath Das Goswami would narrate the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And many other Vaishnavas would come. And one Vaishnava was there, that was Kaviraj Goswami, would sit in a corner and he would take down the notes. You can imagine this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is saturated with the feeling of separation of Raghunath Das Goswami and penned by Kaviraj Goswami. It is not simply the story is written with imagination. So how should I write now? What should appear to be, you know, how it can be nice? Sometimes, you know, when we have to write articles, some of our devotees write articles to BTG magazine. No? They take 25 hours, 30 hours to write one article. And to write that article also, you know, we go through so many emotions, most of the time frustrations. But here Kaviraj Goswami, you know, that it was getting transformed, that feeling of separation of Raghunath Das Goswami was being transformed to the heart of Kaviraj Goswami, then he was writing the book. So therefore, naturally it is concluded that anyone who reads this book, even on an intellectual platform, because it is saturated with that feeling of separation, it will affect the heart of a conditioned soul. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami, you know, makes it very clear that there is no scripture as powerful as the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why? Because it is saturated with that kind of feeling. Feeling of separation. Mahaprabhu also, in that same Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Kaviraj Goswami is writing with separation, he is exhibiting what is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. He says, yes, he is exhibiting the mood of Srimati Radharani. He said, I am crying because of separation of Krishna. And anyone who sees me crying will feel that I am a great devotee. But Mahaprabhu says, this is only a show. I am crying, but it is nothing but a show. If I am really feeling separation from the Lord, how is that I am still continuing to live? Therefore, it is a show. There is no real substance. And he continues to cry, feeling the separation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, as Srila Prabhupada explains, to cry the separation of either the Vaishnavas or the spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, It is not based on the material sentiments. Crying is there. One South Indian poet says, very nice to the materialistic people, he is observing. He says, when a husband dies, wife is crying. But why is she crying? Most of the time she is crying, what will happen to me now? He said, who will take care of me? He said, the separation is there, but mostly it is based upon that what will happen to my material life? That you are providing me sense gratification. Now you are not there, therefore there is a separation. So this is the poet says. But at the same time, if there is a devotional principle, it is flavored with devotional service, if it is flavored with Krishna, then whatever emotions we exhibit, even with our family members. I remember a personal example. When my sister left her body in an accident, you know, I went there. And because being in the Brahmacharya ashram, you are trained wrongly. Not trained wrongly, you train yourself wrongly. And the part of being trained wrongly is that, you know, you try to be as hard as possible. You try to avoid all emotions. Emotions are material, emotions are mundane. You know, you should not feel for anyone, become hard-hearted. But that is not the principle of devotional service. Rupa Goswami explains, only when the heart is mrudu, when only heart is soft, then Krishna can come in. Devotional service is part of the soft-heartedness. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that devotee is sensitive to everything. He becomes so sensitive. We discussed this point. That Mrigahari, who was so desensitized, he would not kill the animals completely. But then by being connected with Narad Muni, his heart became very soft, then he would not even step on the ants. That was the difference. Such a difference was possible because there was connection with Narad Muni. So when I went there, you know, I tried not to cry, but it was not possible. Because there was some kind of affection was there, you know, we had good relationship, so started crying. Then I realized that it is artificial not to cry. But because it is connected, because there is some connection with devotional service, even though the relationship of crying with a material relation, but still because devotee is involved, it can be spiritualized. That is how the principle of devotional service works. So therefore, when you add Krishna into your life, when Krishna becomes center of your life, when that asset increases, when the spiritual asset increases, then whatever you exhibit, either with your relatives or with your friends, it naturally has the flavor of spirituality. If Krishna is not there, if the spiritual devotional practice is not there, then even if you act like a great renunciate, like the Jnanis, like the Jan meditators, the Jan Buddhist monk, now they are taught to be so hard-hearted, to become desensitized to all the surroundings. To such an extent, Srila Satsurabh Das Goswami Maharaj writes in one of his book, he said they become so desensitized even if the tiger is passing next to them. If the tiger roars, they don't feel anything about it. They feel, what is it? That doesn't mean that, you know, they have become freed from, you know, the principle of birth and old age, disease and death. They become so desensitized, then even if the tiger devours, they don't feel about it. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. Krishna consciousness involves unlimited feelings. It involves unlimited emotions. Srila Prabhupada, recently Shyamananda was explaining, quoting Srila Prabhupada, I said, what is rasa? We talk about different rasas. He said, there are 12 rasas when they are exhibited, when they are interacting with each other, that rasa is called as devotional service. That is the definition of devotional service. When all the rasas, the rasa of parental affection with Krishna, the rasa of friendship, dasiras, shantaras, madhuryaras, and then anger. Sometimes we see, you know, parents, they have such a training towards their children that children cannot exhibit anything. They may be very submissive. They may not become angry, they may not exhibit any emotion. That's very dangerous. Because they are not letting out their emotions come out. If there is some interaction, if the child screams at the parents, it may be bad, but at least he is exhibiting some emotions. So similarly, a devotee sometimes, he does that with the Supreme Personality of Godhead also. Srila Prabhupada would like his disciples like that. One time he told Shruti Kirti Prabhu, Prabhupada would try to make him angry, and he would not become angry. And Prabhupada said, "You are no fun." He said, you don't fight back. He said, "You don't fight back." He said, "Therefore, you are no fun." Shruti Kirti Prabhu explained, "I was very submissive. I would say whatever you say, Prabhupada. No fighting." Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would try to agitate Gadadhar Pandit. When Gadadhar Pandit, when he was associating with one of the devotee, Vallabhacharya, and most of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, or devotees of Lord Chaitanya, had avoided his association. This was the pastime. And Gadadhar Pandit, because he was so mild, he continued to associate. In fact, Vallabhacharya was forcing his association to Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit would say, "You know, your association is not appreciated by many of my Lord Chaitanya's devotees. They will be angry with me." And Mahaprabhu avoided the association of Gadadhar. He would not allow him to come. And after some time, Gadadhar Pandit was called. And Sarup Damodar Goswami asked him, he said, "My dear Gadadhar," he said, "Mahaprabhu was neglecting you. He was behaving with you because he wanted to make you angry. Why you didn't become angry?" Because Gadadhar Pandit was so mild, he said, "How can I be angry with my Lord?" He said, "There is no question of becoming angry. But the point is, Lord Chaitanya would also be happy to see their qualities in his devotees. Like Damodar Pandit. You know, he would chastise Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Prabhupada does not appreciate that in his purport. But the principle is there. Kaviraj Goswami says, these are the four characters. And one of this was Damodar Pandit. He would chastise Lord Chaitanya. Jagadanand Pandit, he would chastise Lord Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu said, "When you become angry and cook for me, it has a different flavor only." So of course, that doesn't mean that we go to our spiritual master and become angry. If you don't have that relationship, it is offensive and dangerous. So therefore, only when that intimacy is there, that strong bond is there, then disciple or the devotee, he naturally laments. And that lamentation becomes cause of his more determined devotional service. And ultimately, because of that separation from the Lord, when he leaves this world, even though he is in the association of that material asset, because this portion is much greater, the spiritual asset, when he quits his body, he does not think anything about the material asset. And he quickly goes back to the spiritual world. But if it's not like that, and Srila Prabhupada explains, then such a person has to come back. Even if he is practicing devotional service, we have discussed this, that when Jayanand Prabhu left this world, when Prabhupada came to know that he has departed, in the first letter Prabhupada mentioned, that if you are attached to material world, but because of your devotional service, you'll go to the heavenly planets, enjoy there for 10,000 years, then you'll be born in the devotee's house. So you can imagine that even after performing devotional service, if there is an attachment, one has to come back. Prabhupada is talking about his devotee. But if you had no material desires, then you'll go back to the spiritual world. And the devotees told Srila Prabhupada how he departed. They told Srila Prabhupada he was holding the tape which was playing your kirtan. And he was seeing your picture, remembering you. Then Prabhupada said, then he has gone back to the spiritual world. Why? Because one cannot chant Hare Krishna unless one is not completely convinced about going back to the spiritual world. Unless one is completely purified. And purification may take many lifetimes, or by the mercy of the Lord, it may happen within no time. Abruptly it may happen. Just like a lightning in the sky. Suddenly it takes place. So similarly, when the mercy of the Lord is there, immediately it may happen. And even though so many contaminations are there, because of that sudden intervention of the Lord, immediately one can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and go back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment? Granthraj. Yes, Gopinath Prabhu, comment.
I want to ask some questions so that you can continue speaking. How do we develop this kind of attachment?
So therefore it is said in the Bhagavatam, Prasangam Ajaram Pasham Atmano Kavayo Viduhu. What is that? Saeva sadhu sukrito moksha dwaram apavrita. Now we have no connection with Krishna. We only know Krishna on an intellectual platform. So it is not based upon the heart. You know, like one young boy was telling me. So he said, you know, my parents, they come to the temple. They said, deities are so nice today. He said, I have to force myself to like it. Liking is not... For liking or loving somebody, there is no reason and logic. By logic and reason, you cannot love. That is not the definition of love. Definition of love is very spontaneous. By reason and logic, you cannot stop somebody from loving. When there is attachment between a man and woman, you know, Prabodhananda Saraswati explains, when that attachment takes place, he said, no Shastra, no Guru, no devotees, nothing works. Doesn't work. So that same principle is also applied with Krishna. But because we have no connection with Krishna, it is only on the intellectual platform. Naturally, you know, there is no love. So it's a very difficult situation. Then next is with the spiritual master. If you have that same connection with the spiritual, you don't have connection with the with Krishna, then you develop with the spiritual master. And for most devotees, it is seen that they may not have that personal contact so much. They may like, but that strong bond may not develop. Therefore, the next principle is that developing that friendship with the devotees who are our equals and friends. In fact, most of us will only survive not because, you know, we have strong association of the spiritual master. Not because we have Bhagavad scripture. Yes, they are there and they are very much required. But one principle which we continue to practice when we have strong association of devotees, our friends. That is the only surviving factor. And when we develop friendship with them, and because of their friendship, it is easy. They will protect us. And because of affection to them, we will continue to practice devotional service. Example is His Grace Shyam Sundar Prabhu. When he came first time to our temple in 94, and in his life there was some gap between him and, you know, devotional service. But who brought him back? Yes, remembrance of Prabhupada was there, but that was not activated. It was in the, you know, it was in inactive stage. But that was activated by his friend, Mukund Maharaj. He always kept in touch with him. So similarly, when we have that strong bonds with devotees, we are discussing, this is the most important, 20% with your guru, because that's what you will get, even less than that. 20% with your guru, and the Shastras, hardly people can understand it, but 60 to 70% with your equals. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur, he wrote this song, Jainula Premadana, not after the departure of his spiritual master, but after the departure of his friend Ramchandra Kaviraj. Because they were so strong, such a bond, such a friendship was there when Ramchandra Kaviraj departed, he actually felt great separation. Of course, they are such a devotees, even he was feeling separation from Lord Chaitanya. in a perfect degree. But when Ramchandra Kaviraj departed, he actually felt. Then he wrote this poem. So therefore, to develop that affection with Krishna, in our level it is not possible. With Guru, maybe for some devotees it is possible. With devotees it is possible. So therefore, when we have that strong attachment with devotees, therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, he would say that, my hope for attaining liberation is all of you. If I become attached to you, then there is a scope for me. And he told his disciples, he considered them to be his equals, his friends. And he said, he made that comment. Therefore it becomes so important that when we are in the association of devotees, that attachment should not be made material. There is always a risk of making material. How? Therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when everyone was going back to their respective residence after the big festival, he abruptly made one comment. He said, don't cheat me. Everyone was shocked. And one disciple said, Gurudev, what do you mean by not cheating you? He said, because of your nice behavior, I have developed affection for you. I become strong attachment for all of you. But when you go back to your respective residence, if you continue to live a materialistic life, then my attachment is wrongly placed. My attachment is there, but then it will become wrongly placed. Then I will be cheated of my eternal goal. So therefore, don't cheat me by becoming attached to material things. Continue to be attached to devotees. Continue to hear Krishna Katha. Continue to practice devotional service. And you do that, and then my attachment is properly placed. So that is how we can develop attachment. And by their association, they are the one, the devotees are the one who will take us back to Krishna. Because we have not seen Krishna. We have not interacted so much with the spiritual master. Those who have interacted, they can bring out. Therefore, you know, we have such a good fortune. Those who had very close association, you know, they can bring out Gurudas Prabhu, you know, Shyam Sundar Prabhu. They have such a wonderful association, they can bring out. And because of their association, others will be benefited. So that is the principle. And then again, on an intellectual platform also, we have to convince. We have to apply everything. The senses should be applied on a regulated way. Intelligence has to be applied. But then the heart is there. And that heart has to be applied in developing that relationship with devotees of the Lord. And they are the only hope. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Harinam and Vaishnava Sangha. Yesterday, Pradyumna Prabhu was mentioning, I think yesterday or day before yesterday, it was day before yesterday, he said, even if you chant so much of rounds, but if you have not made your goal clear, he said, it is just like being in the train to Calcutta, you are in the train of Calcutta, but you are praying, let me reach Bombay, let me reach Bombay, let me reach Bombay. You know, you are practicing so much, you are very careful. But because the train is going to Calcutta, you can never come to Bombay. So similarly, if the heart is not very clear what we want to attain, then on a sensual level, on an intellectual level, we can read the scriptures, we can practice the process, but we will never come. Why? Because the decision has been not made from the principle of the heart. So therefore the devotees can allow us, they can give us that strength. That is what, you know, my understanding, if you want to speak your understanding so that devotees can be benefited.
No understanding. Another thing you made, a point that about the Zen Buddhist becoming hard-hearted. And we have to understand that we have emotions. At the same time, those emotions are generally sentimental. So, how do we make sure that the emotions are not sentimental, but true sentiments?
Therefore, one time Pankajangri Prabhu, in Mayapur, one devotee was making this comment, you know, how people mostly are sentimental, you know, and for devotional service, you should be beyond this. And he shot back, he said, devotional service is full of sentiments. He said, without sentiments you cannot progress. He said, you cannot kill your sentiments. So even if you are sentimental in the beginning stage, but if it is applied to devotee, then, you know, the circle of devotees, then it is good. But then, it may be good in the beginning, but one does not develop that conviction that I cannot be on the sentimental platform all the time, because sometime in our life our sentiments will be tested. Just like, you know, the example of that one follower of Yoko Ono, right? Or John Lennon. He shot him. John Lennon. He was very much sentimentally attached to him. But when he made that statement, you know, I am more famous than Jesus Christ, then that sentiment turned to hatred. Raga was there. If it remains on the material platform, even with the spiritual master, it is seen those who are attached to spiritual master on the material platform, and if they didn't try to spiritualize it, they develop raga and they also develop dvesha. So that fear always there. So therefore we have to spiritualize. And therefore the shastras are there. There is sadhana bhakti, which helps us to spiritualize our material sentiments. Otherwise there is always fear that one might rebel against the spiritual master, one might rebel against the devotee. So many times it happens. When something which not understandable by us, usually we are always associate with devotees or the spiritual master because he is nice to us. There is a difference that guru being nice to us and pleasing the spiritual master. It is not that, you know, because guru is nice, therefore, you know, I am pleasing him. It's a completely different thing. In the Bhagavatam it is explained, great souls, they teach, they cheat sometimes for a higher cause. And sometimes seeing the neophyte condition of a disciple, you know, the spiritual master makes an austerity of being very nice. He may not instruct, may not give heavy words. Why? He knows that if I use little heavy word, this person might become totally hateful of the process of Krishna consciousness. Therefore the Balam rice and ghee is regularly given to a disciple. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told that story. That when you give balam rice and ghee, when you, because that appetite is there, is always eating, then maybe when guru forces, okay, now you serve, you always feel, he's being too much, he's harshing, he's very harsh to me. But he remembers that I will not get balam rice and ghee outside. So guru is nice, and then he takes some service from his disciple. Then he keeps giving that being nice also. But when he develops that strong conviction about his disciple's determination, then he can chastise him left and right, give heavy orders. And that is the real test of a disciple. That is it that my spiritual master has that confidence in me that I will not go away? Otherwise, you know, the teacher, the devotees are very careful to handle very nicely. Now therefore it is said, you know, how to handle devotees, you should not be hurting them, you should be careful. Now the real devotee will not mind it. Most of the time we see why devotees live, because they are wrongly treated. You know, I came to the temple, but you know, this devotee behaved very badly with me, because people can't handle. So therefore, sentiments, if it is not spiritualized, that can lead towards becoming hateful. And that's we learn from the Shastra. Then Prabhupada explains, very nice, one time Shruti Kirti Prabhu was cooking for Prabhupada. And another devotee was helping, he came to Shruti Kirti Prabhu, he said, Prabhuji, can I help? I want to help you serve Srila Prabhupada. He said, yes, come clean the, you know, room. And then Prabhupada called, Shruti Kirti, come here. So Shruti Kirti Prabhu went there. And Prabhupada showed him the picture of Arjuna and Krishna. He said, you see Arjuna here? He said, the devotee of Krishna. But what kind of service Krishna is giving to Arjuna? He said, you kill your relatives, kill your friends, kill your brothers. Can you imagine that? He said, this is what it means to practice devotional service. He said, now you can go back. Huh? He said, Prabhupada said, And Shruti Kirti Prabhu told, he said, becoming a devotee of Krishna doesn't mean that, you know, it was very nice for Arjuna. They were loitering here and there, having a nice friendship. You know, Arjuna explains, we would sleep on the same bed, and I would call you, you know, in jest, oh my dear friend, you always speak truth. But this, Prabhupada said, you know, this is what devotee means. Krishna is giving order to Arjuna that you kill your relatives. Bhishma, so much affection he had. Dronacharya, so much affection he had. Ashwatthama, you know, Ashwatthama liked Arjuna. But Arjuna had to kill all of them. So therefore, becoming a devotee and being a disciple is right. It's nice when it is on a very superficial platform. He is nice, I am nice, I give some donation, he gives me some prasad. You know, he says, how are you, nice. But then we have to develop that strong relationship. Then comes the instructions. You know, do this, do that. Then he said, no, it's too much. So Krishna put Arjuna in that situation. And when Arjuna agreed to do that, then Prabhupada said, then he became glorified. Why? Because he followed the instructions of Krishna. So many times in the battle, if you read Mahabharata, Arjuna condemns the whole practice of Kshatriya. He said, hell with the profession of a Kshatriya, that he has to handle so much of violence, he has to kill his relatives. But he had no choice. He had to continue because Krishna wanted. On the other hand, Dronacharya, he was only fighting for his son's sake. When his son, he got to know that his son is dead, even though he was not dead, he gave up. He said, whom should I fight? There was no higher purpose. It was based upon his personal interest for his son. But with Arjuna, it was not like that. Even though he was saying that hell with Arjuna developed greater renunciation, but still he had to continue. Why? Because Krishna wanted. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam Granthraj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Chai.